In 5, 4, 3, 2. Hey, welcome back, guys, to our third episode of Future Stepdads. I am the star, the host, the everything, Terrence Lee.
And I'm Matt.
Great intro. Okay, so how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We just, in case you guys didn't notice, Terrence just said the new name of our podcast, Future Stepdads. We've settled on it.
Finally settled on it. Not just a tip.
Not the short bus.
Not the short bus.
Not your sister's closet.
Yeah, we had many discussions about that, Matt.
Yeah, we had a lot of bad ideas.
Matt had a lot of bad ideas.
Well, you know, most of them were never meant to be taken seriously, but maybe?
Maybe? Okay, I felt that, yeah.
Yeah.
Our title is kind of like funny and you can just play with it, so it's cool.
Yeah, our inspiration was we wanted something that would be on those penny tees from iCarly.
Just
two-word silly phrase.
Mm-hmm. I love those.
Yeah, so Future Stepdads it is.
iCarly callback. I can't talk.
Speaking of iCarly, have you been keeping up with the whole Jeanette McCurdy situation?
No, what's happening?
It's not really ongoing anymore, but she put out a book called I'm Glad My Mom Died.
What?
Yeah, and
you serious?
I hear it's really good. Yeah, she talks about how her mom was abusive and put her through acting when she didn't really want to be on it. And I haven't been reading the book, but I have been listening to her interview on Armchair Expert, the podcast with Dax Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems, they pointed this out in the interview too, that she seems really emotionally mature about it. And she's doing a great job processing it.
Okay, I mean, that's a good attention grabber with that title.
Yeah.
That's crazy, wow.
They asked her about it on either Good Morning America or the Today Show, and they were like, so why did you
name it that?
And her response was very smart. It was, I think anyone who's had an abusive parent will understand this title.
Ooh.
And I think anyone who has a sense of humor will understand this title.
Ooh, okay.
No.
I feel like that's like more common than people think. Like young child stars being forced into the industry and everything.
Yeah, I can't imagine all of them want to be in it.
Exactly. Like, of course they're acting and like they have to act happy, like they want to be it just to get the role. But deep down, I feel like not every child wants to give their life to acting.
Yeah. Would you give your life to acting if someone said, like, right now, you can be the 10th most popular actor of all time?
I mean,
all you got to do is follow me.
I actually wanted to be an actor when I was younger. I'm trash, by the way. Yeah, I don't know anything about acting. Like, I'm a bad liar. Yeah, so.
What would you want to be in? What kind of actor would you want to be?
I don't know. Kind of like, when I was a kid, I used to want to be like a superhero. But now, I don't know. Like, just whatever I can be, to be honest.
Like, yeah.
I'll probably be an extra if I could.
Yeah, I'd take it. I'd take whatever role I could. I think it'd be super fun.
Yeah, but to be like the 10th most popular actor, I don't know. That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah. I think it'd be a lot of responsibility just to be that famous for anything.
Exactly. And like, it might get to my head.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. I try to stay humble.
Hmm. How do you do that?
I mean, it's pretty easy. Just be humble.
Mm.
Don't take anything for granted.
It's hard for me to be humble.
Of course it is, Matt. What makes you say that?
It's just I'm so good at everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a character piece that I'm working on. That wasn't the real me.
What character are you working on again?
It's called Matt Schroeder, but it's like not the regular Matt Schroeder. It's like Matt Schroeder when he's feeling good, like he's having a good day.
It's funny because you act like that all the time.
Mm. Well, you know, they say that there's a little bit of Matt Schroeder in all of us. I've always said that.
No one says that. No one says, yeah, I got a little bit of Matt Schroeder in me. Your name is not like a go-to phrase. Like, yeah.
It's just a monomer.
I got a Matt Schroeder. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's like when someone was feeling a little bit too hot about themselves, they're like, oh, sorry, just pulled a Matt Schroeder today. Should have let you have the spotlight. I'm sorry. See how easy and fun this is?
Exactly.
We're doing it.
This one flows.
We're flying the plane.
I can't fly a plane. I can't even swim.
Yeah, do you want to change that someday, or are you just going to let that soak into your personality?
It's a part of my personality. Everyone I tell, they're so surprised. Like, what? You can't swim? Like, how'd you get here? Like, I know I'm Asian.
How'd you get here?
I know I'm Asian, but it's a boat. Yeah. Just kidding. I was born here. But yeah, like, everyone wants to also teach me too. Mm. Like, I'm not totally against everyone teaching me, but like, I don't know.
You just got to wait for that special someone. Or just fake it every time. And
fake how you swim?
Yeah, so that can always be your first date, and you'll just master the learning to swim first date.
Yeah, I'll just, like, jump in the deep end.
Mm-hmm. And then just, like, start drowning and be like, help, I need our mouths to touch each other.
That's not how that works,
that's,
Matt.
That's your go-to move. I'm hip to it. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm 5'4". I have to stand on my tippy toes in the shallow end.
When you say tippy toes?
Tippy toes. How would you say tippy toes?
Toes.
Stand on my toes? Oh.
Or the tips of my toes, but that sounds way too formal. No, I like the way you did it better.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If you think about it, I stand on the tips of my toes. Yeah. I'm like British. Tips of my toes.
Yeah, it does sound way ridiculous to be too saying. Formal.
Oh, so someone at work was telling me you had a Stevie Wonder pickup line.
Oh, yeah.
Can I hear it?
So I was messaging a girl on Hinge.
Okay.
Because I've tried my luck with dating apps. And yeah. On Hinge and Bumble, you can add your favorite artists. Mm-hmm. And one of mine was Stevie Wonder. So this girl slides up and is like, hey, what do you know about Stevie Wonder?
Oh, is she sweet at first?
I can't even remember now. It was very early in the conversation. She said, what do you know about Stevie Wonder? And I said, I love Stevie Wonder. Are you kidding me? And she was like, okay, I see you. And I said, well, you know who can't see me? Stevie Wonder.
That caught me so hard.
It was such a risk, but it paid off, thank goodness, because she texted a bunch of, like, laughing, crying emojis.
Nice.
She was like, okay, I'm going to hell for laughing at that.
No, that's a good one, though.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Not too terrible. So, you taken on a date yet?
No, it didn't go super far.
Oh.
I think we got each other's Instagrams or something, because I just thought she was cool. She like ran a business or something.
Oh yeah, so she got your Instagram, and then once she saw a picture of you, she like, I'm a dip.
Yeah, that's probably
what's new.
Yeah, she was like, can't really commit to that. But yeah, she seems it, maybe she no
what
I was gonna say, maybe she's out there. I forgot we have 5 listeners. I'm treating this like it's a popular show.
I know. It's like, out of the millions of you guys, maybe it's just one of you.
Yeah, out of, you know, the countless sea of viewers that we reel in every single week. Oof,
I know. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, I know. If she's out there, you know, keep doing your thing. keep running that business.
Keep doing your thing. You're going to make it without her.
Mm-hmm. And she'll be fine without me. I have faith in her.
At least, I like how you're positive about it. You know, you're not like, fuck her. You're kind of like, hey, do well in life.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't subscribe to this whole, like, bitterness after I get rejected.
Yeah.
I don't think it's...
Yeah, we're adults now. We just, like, move on if you do get rejected.
Yeah. It's just not a good strategy in the long run. You want to play the long game and be like, all right, well, maybe someday.
Oh, so you, like, going to become friends with them first, and then hopefully one day it turns into something.
Yeah, and I know we disagree on this.
Yeah, we do. I was about to say, like, I forgot you think like that.
Yeah, let's go into this. So you think that you shouldn't do that because that's just not what I am to you. I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm here to be your boyfriend.
I mean, part of that is just because, like, kind of the... I'm not, like, a boy best friend type of thing to a girl for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to explain, but there's a clear line. I'm down for, like, getting to know the girl, of course, and getting to become, like, I guess, sort of close friends, but I'm not like how you think.
Mm-hmm. I think the classic advice is become friends first, and one, that leads to making sure that you're actually pursuing something with someone that you like. And also, it just means that you get a consolation prize of a new friend if it doesn't work out romantically.
I mean, it is different. Like, again, it's really hard to explain, but I just let them know what my intentions are, I guess. That's the real word.
Mm-hmm. So something funny happened at work.
What happened?
We have a coworker who looks a lot like me.
Who? Who looks like a lot like you? For electronics?
Yeah.
He does not look like you.
Well, tell that to everyone who keeps calling me. Because so many people call me by his name, I don't even know what to do about it anymore.
Like, he's way taller. I don't know.
We look exactly the same on paper. Tall white guy with dark brown hair.
Well, yeah, like, by description, I guess, like, y'all match.
People who aren't super familiar with our faces think we look exactly the same. So, that's one of our coworkers. Another one is strikingly handsome. Just a very tall glass of water. Looks nothing like me. He has blue eyes, I have brown eyes. He has tan skin. I'm not that tan.
You're pale.
Thank you. He has much larger muscles than I. He's just a good-looking dude.
You're talking about...
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was helping a guest who needed something unlocked off the shelf. And I called on the walkie-talkie. Hey, does anybody have keys to unlock this item off
Hold
the
on,
shelf?
Hold on, no. I'm not going to let you get by that because you wouldn't let me go with tippy toes. Walkie-talkie.
It's the walkie-talkie. We call it the walkie, but it's not the walking part that we use it for. It's the talkie part.
I know. You don't actually think it like that.
Yeah. So I was on the talkie.
No. I dare you. I dare you to go into work and like, anyone got a talkie?
I'm going to start calling it that. No. I'm also going to start calling the time clock the time machine. Or the time... What do people call the time clock? The thing that you punch in on?
The clock in? I don't know. They could either call it the clock in.
I'm going to call it the time machine.
That's actually a good one. No, so what are you saying, though?
So the guest was trying to unlock something off the shelf, and I didn't have the keys for it. So I went on the walkie-talkie. And I said, hey, can somebody in electronics come help me unlock this item? And the coworker, who looks apparently a lot like me, says, yeah, I'm on my way. And I go, okay. So I turn to the guest and I say, okay, someone who looks exactly like me is going to come help you guys. And she's like, oh, do you have a twin? And I'm like, well, no, but, well, yes, but... Not here. this is just a coworker who happens to look a lot like me, and people say we look a lot alike and get us confused. And she's like, oh, okay, well, thanks for your help.
Thanks for your help.
So I see the coworker who looks just like me and the tall glass of water coworker swap keys. And then the pretty one comes over to her while I'm walking away. And he's like, hey, how can I help you guys? And she probably doubles over laughing because I just said someone who looks exactly like me is going to come help her. And then the most attractive young man she's ever seen comes and helps her. So she either thinks that I'm just completely tooting my own horn or that I'm delirious and I think that I look like him.
I told you. I remember the beginning of the podcast. You just Matthew Schroeder.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. I pulled a real Matt Schroeder right there.
I don't... It's funny to swap keys.
She thought Nathan Fielder was going to come help her, and she got Zac Efron.
Who's Nathan Fielder?
Nathan Fielder is a hilarious, dry comedian.
Dry?
Yes.
Why is he dry?
His sense of humor is very awkward.
Oh. This dude?
Yeah, he was on a show called The Rehearsal, which is a really weird show. I briefly brought it up on the last episode. It's a really funny, weird show on HBO where he helps people rehearse for a major life event, the first episode, he was helping someone tell their friend a secret that they've kept for a while. And he recreated the bar where they would be meeting up and then enacted every possible outcome, every situation, every way that the interaction could go down.
Wow.
Yeah. And then for the rest of the series, he helped a woman simulate raising a child. So they got a bunch of child actors and made them, you know, fit the union rules of like only 6 hours a day and all this stuff about like the extras can't have speaking dialogues. So when they had a birthday party in the show for this fake child, all of the extras couldn't have any lines. So they all just stood around and, you know, pretended to talk and were like miming out a birthday party. And over the narration, Nathan says, "This may seem like an odd choice, but it saved the production company hundreds of thousands of dollars in actors' wages."
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a really weird, awkward, but funny show.
You say it's a rehearsal?
Mm-hmm. The rehearsal on HBO Max. So should we get back on track here?
Yeah. Hey, didn't you start a class yesterday?
Yeah, I started American Literature After the Civil War.
Oh, how's that?
It's great. There's like 15 girls and 2 guys.
Sheesh, ratio.
I know, right?
So how's the first day?
It was pretty good. First, it was too quiet. Not enough people were talking.
Yeah.
Nobody was talking, actually.
Yeah, first day vibes.
Yeah, the worst. But luckily, the teacher had the wherewithal to say, "Hey, let's play an icebreaker game." So we played 2 truths and a lie.
2 truths and a lie? Okay.
Yes, and not to toot my own horn or anything, which I like to do, but I crushed it. I crushed this game of 2 truths and a lie.
You're a good liar. Good for you, Matt.
Thank you.
You're going to go far with that.
So
such a trustworthy person.
What do you mean by that? So the three things I said for 2 truths and a lie was... 1, I've lived in the same house in the Woodlands, Texas, my entire life. 2, my first cousin is Ashton Kutcher. 3, I do stand-up comedy for strangers.
See, if I didn't know you, like, I would pick between Ashton Kutcher and stand-up comedy.
For the truths or for the lies?
For the lies.
Yeah, so surprisingly, one of the guys was like, "I don't believe that first one. No way you've lived in the same house in the Woodlands your entire life. Not buying it." And then one girl was like, "I think the comedy's a lie." And I looked right at her and I said, "Ouch." And then the whole class laughed and that felt good.
Yeah.
So the teacher was like, "So which is it?" And I was like... I've never met Ashton Kutcher. I have no idea if we're related. And she was like, "Oh, that was good." I was like, "Yes, ma'am, it was." So that was a good first day of class.
Heck yeah. We're taking that heck yeah out. So whenever you go to, like, restaurants and stuff, how much do you tip a waiter?
I tip the waiter 20%, but then I round up to the nearest whole dollar.
20%? Like... Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know. I don't really do percentages. I just, like, it's, like, based on service to me. It ranges from, like, maybe 5, like, nothing below 5. Even if I order, like, something like French fries or something, it's, like, $5 at least. And it ranges up from there.
Does it depend on how long you're there? What if your table is only taken up for 10 minutes?
Like, what do you...
Like, you're only seated there for 10 minutes. You tip...
Again, it's based on service for me.
Hmm.
So, like, I don't know, if I feel like I'm being rushed out and they, like, this college kid doesn't give a fuck, then, yeah, fuck you.
And then you don't tip at all?
No, I'd still tip, but it's, like, a fuck you tip.
How do they know the difference?
I write fuck you under the tip. $5. Fuck you.
That is cold-blooded.
Hey, they get a tip, bro, because I know how hard it is in the industry, like... They get paid $2-3 an hour.
Yeah.
And they make their wage on tip, like their salary.
Yeah, definitely when I first started working I was not in the service industry, but I knew people who were.
Yeah.
And it gave me a lot more empathy for them, and I started tipping more.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Those type of people in that industry are, like, resilient, and they're definitely two-faced. I'm going to say that. They're so good at putting on, like, a character. Like, they're so good at, the customer service voice.
Yeah. You kind of have to have that.
Heck yeah. Hey, guys. Welcome to Chili's.
I'm so excited to take your order here at TGI Fridays.
Everyone at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Unless they just don't care. Like,
I have been to one bad Chick-fil-A, but for the most part, Chick-fil-A's customer service is phenomenal.
Usually, but the one by our house, I don't know. Every time I go, it's like hit and miss with that. I don't know why. Like, the food's okay, but, like, it's just the people there that work there.
One of my old friends tweeted something like, they should go back to letting special needs people work at Chick-fil-A because these college kids keep messing up my order.
They don't let special kids work there?
I'm sure they do, but they don't emphasize it as much as they used to.
Yeah.
Back in, like, 2015, you'd go to any Kroger or Chick-fil-A and you'd see a whole spectrum of people on the spectrum.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, true.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
But yeah, that's it's good to tip a lot. And if you don't have enough to tip, don't eat out.
I want to talk about one more segment.
Okay.
That you got. Do you have any more?
Another funny thing that happened in class is...
I feel like I should talk because I haven't been saying anything.
Yeah, go and do your thing.
Anything else funny happened in class?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So, in my public speaking class, we did this little personality quiz exercise where the teacher put up different things on the board and we had to write how we feel about them.
Mm.
And one of them was rats. How do you feel about rats?
Yeah.
And I wrote, well, I'd like to feed and relocate them.
I don't know. For me about rats, like, I don't really feel anything any sort of way to them. It's kind of like, meh.
Yeah. I don't like them, but I don't want to kill them.
Yeah. I mean, still an animal. You know, people have rats for, like, pets.
Yeah, that's weird that you can domesticate such a gross animal.
Like a pet cockroach? Like one of our coworkers? A pet cockroach?
Who has a pet cockroach?
The one I was telling you about.
You can actually domesticate a cockroach?
I guess.
For what?
I don't know. I think she keeps in a cage or something. I don't know what she does with a cockroach.
There's no reason to do that.
Why would you keep a cockroach?
This is my emotional support cockroach.
It helps me. Brings it to school every day.
So the teacher revealed what each thing was about, and it turns out the way you feel about rats is supposedly how you feel about your enemies. And I said I wanted to feed and relocate them.
At least you're nice about it.
I'm super nice about it. That's a great mentality to have.
Actually, yeah, I was like, feed and relocate them. That's great, actually.
Yeah, it's like, listen, I want what's good for you.
But get away from me.
Do it over there.
Do it over there. Okay. I'm just mad about them, I guess.
It's like what Tupac said. I want you to eat, just not at my table.
Ooh.
Tupac. He was a hard mamma jamma. So should we get to some closing segments?
Sure.
What are you listening to?
Oh, I don't have anything I'm listening to. I'll get back to me.
I am listening to Brockhampton.
How about I ask you? What are you listening to?
I'm listening to Brockhampton. Brockhampton is from the Woodlands, if you ask someone from the Woodlands, but from San Marcos, if you ask someone from San Marcos. People from the Woodlands claim Brockhampton as their own because one of the lead members went to my high school.
You really?
Mm-hmm. Kevin Abstract went to the Woodlands High School.
What? How old were you whenever he graduated?
I think he graduated in 2016 or 14 or something, so I was not in high school when he went there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But they have some really soft songs about every 10th song. And then the rest of them are just super hardcore alternative hip-hop.
Yeah.
But I really like the soft songs that they make. I'm talking about Summer. I'm talking about Waste. I'm talking about Ebony, the first part of Team. Of course, I'm talking about Sugar. And most of all, I'm talking about Dear Lord. That is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. It is a gospel song on their most recent album, and it comes right after a super hard track called Don't Shoot Up the Party. Hmm. And most of the things that these tracks have in common is the singer Bareface.
Yeah.
I really hope that Bareface makes more solo music because I love his contribution to Brockhampton.
Really?
Absolutely. So I am listening to the soft songs from Brockhampton.
Nice. Whenever you list songs, you list like albums and you pick like individual ones from that.
Yeah, I usually when I pick a song, I try to pick one that's from an artist where if you dive more into their music, you're going to find a lot more that you like.
Yeah.
I don't like to suggest a one-hit wonder. I'm very proud of that answer that I gave, by the way. Terrence, what are you listening to?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm listening to Buy You a Drink by T-Pain.
I saw that on your phone, and I was so excited about it because I loved that song in high school.
For real.
What do you like about it?
I don't know. It's just a hit. What can I say?
It really is.
What's not to like about it?
It's such a smash.
For real. It's like something just to dance to, have fun. It's like...
Yeah, that song was stuck in my head for a straight year. Ask my homegirl, Jenna.
Jenna? I will.
Shout out, Jenna.
Yeah, so that's my favorite song. So what are you endorsing?
I'm endorsing a rolling bedside hospital table. Guys, a few months ago, I had a death in the family, and that was not a happy time. However, what good did come from it is I got the rolling hospital table that this family member used, and I brought it up to my room. I put some snacks on it. I put a popcorn bowl. I put my laptop, my headphones, and I was watching a video on my laptop, and I needed a place to hold it while I went poop. So I rolled the hospital table over to the bathroom. I placed it right in front of my toilet.
Nah.
And I set the laptop on top of it, and I watched my movie while pooping.
That was not necessary whatsoever.
Well, it brought some light to my day, so...
I'm glad it did.
For that reason, I am endorsing a rolling bedside hospital table.
I don't know what to say.
Convenience is unmatched.
I actually like your endorsements for once. Your one endorsement.
Yeah, this is a good one. So, Terrence, what is your endorsement?
My endorsement is conjoined toilets. Think about it. You, either your best friend or your significant other, are moved out in an apartment, your house, whatever. Guess what? You both have to take a shit. There's only one restroom. But guess what? Conjoined toilets to the rescue. So now you both have the comfort of sitting next to each other, having that simple conversation, enjoying movies, sharing memories, all of the above. Introducing conjoined toilets.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Terrence is showing me a picture on his cell phone right now with two toilets facing each other at a right angle. And
they're sharing the lid, the same lid.
Yeah, the lid. They have the same
How's
lid.
How's it open?
But different.
Like one's connected to the wall.
Who is that
one's,
for?
I don't know. We're putting this image on YouTube, by the way. Of just like.
Oh, yeah. We got to.
Like conjoined toilets.
You know who that's for? That's for that couple at the nude beach.
The old couple?
Yeah.
Taking the calendar pics?
Yeah. Listen to episode 2 to know what we're talking about. But that's exactly who that's for.
That's a good one.
So, Terrence, what are you watching?
I'm watching the new season of Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Ah, nice.
It's season 5, I believe. It's so good, actually.
What's cool about that one is that it started on YouTube as a YouTube Premium original.
Really?
Yeah, and then it was bought by Netflix.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's the same actors, right? From mm-hmm. Karate Kid?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they take some of the old ones, like Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
Some of the old ones, too.
Nice. So what is the storyline?
No, that's too much. You're asking too
much. No, but I actually am interested. I hear that it's like...
It actually is pretty good. The storyline in the new season is... It's so hard to explain. I can't because it's 5 seasons deep. And it tails off from, like, the original.
I hear that it's just that they make, like, in a nutshell, it's that they make the good guys from the movie the bad guys in the TV show. Or that they join sides or something.
Yeah, they do join sides. It's actually, I like it. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a good pick.
So what are you watching?
I am watching the Woodstock documentary from 1970. It's on HBO Max. It's almost 4 hours long.
Matt, what's with you picking the weirdest shit to watch? Who wants to watch
it? I like it. It's a time capsule.
4 hour documentary.
Well, I was preparing for Austin City Limits, which I'm going to go to in a couple weeks. Mm. And I wanted to know what good music festivals look like.
From the 1970s?
Yeah. My favorite part of the Woodstock documentary. So throughout the documentary, they show two things on screen at once. And there's one part where they're interviewing some parents or some old people from this town outside of wherever the music festival was.
Yeah.
And asking them, like, what do you think of all these kids, like, getting together to go to this festival?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they've been up to no good? Or do you think they've been having a good time? What do you think? And there's this old man who's like, I think they're all on pot. And then on the left side of the screen, there is teenagers skinny dipping. So the juxtaposition is just undeniable. That on one side there's a guy ranting about kids taking recreational drugs, and on the other side they're just swimming naked.
Does it actually show that in the documentary?
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
and then
crazy.
Yeah, it's a really funny documentary just because it's such a different time.
Yeah. And you said 1970?
Yeah, it was Woodstock was in 1969, but the documentary came out in 1970.
69, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you guys have 4 hours of your life to waste...
That's not nice. I enjoyed this documentary. It is a time commitment. It's the director's cut. They called it the director's cut because they know how freaking long it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not something that I recommend to everyone, but if you're interested in just seeing raw footage carefully curated from a very weird era of American history,
check it out.
Yeah, it's for you.
Nice. He said in a nice way, but if you have nothing better to do with your life.
It's also just a fun thing to watch before you go to bed. There's performances from Janis Joplin, Santana, and Jimi Hendrix. And The Who.
Have to pre-plan watching it before bed 4 hours. All right, I gotta go now. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, if you don't like to fall asleep till 12, but you're all tucked into bed at 8, this is for you. And finally, Terrence, what is your uplifting moment?
It's not really an uplifting moment. It's kind of like, it's pretty much an issue I've been having, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So at the gym, you know, like the locker rooms, that's where we all get dressed and everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, all these old dudes go butt-ass naked. You know, they go shower.
Uh-huh.
They don't give a fuck. That's not my problem, though. They're, like, free with it. I'm like, hey, you do you, homie. I'm going to go do me over here, you know? They be hella free sometimes. Well, you know, I'd be out there working out, working up a sweat, turn around, whole-ass naked dude in front of the mirror. I look at him, I go, you can always go in the locker room.
I see what you did there.
I feel like I should word that better. That wasn't good.
Do you understand the premise of this segment?
All my uplifting moments.
What was uplifting about that?
All my uplifting moments been hitting a grandma in my car.
Getting to eat with your family.
That one was an uplifting moment. And then this one. Seeing a naked dude in the gym. Okay, I think I found a way to reword this. Let's go.
Okay, you're still going with this joke?
I am. Just pretend like you never heard it. Just like,
all right.
Act overly, like, hilarious. Find it overly hilarious. Take a shit! Action.
I've said it enough times. Just start.
Yeah, it's not really an uplifting moment. It's kind of an issue I've been having. So lately, lately I've been taking my grandpa to the gym. You know, trying to get him in shape, get his heart flowing. You know, do cardio machines while I'm working out, doing dumbbells.
Good.
Well, you know all the old guys in the gym, they'd be just like hella knowledge and everything. They'd be like the swole guys in the back of the corner.
They're enlightened.
Yeah. Well, they love to show everything off. When I say everything, I mean everything. Like, kind of drop the towel type of thing, you know? Well, my grandpa started picking up on that too. He had this issue last week. Going, working out, worked up a sweat, and I turned around. I'll see his bare ass just there, just standing. I look at my grandpa in the eyes. I go, get in the locker room.
Wow.
I know you want to laugh.
You didn't just know you were going there with it. I could tell that story better than you.
Probably. But you're not.
I'm going to try it right now.
Do it.
So I was taking Terrence's grandpa to the gym.
No, you're not taking my grandpa to the gym. No.
I can't.
No.
Stop hitting the mic out of my face.
No worries.
That's my show.
Speaking of a gym, I did lie to you about me and a buddy taking steroids.
Yeah, I know you did.
I hyped it up so much, too, where you believed me.
Hold the mic up to your face.
It's in my mouth.
Good. That's how it's supposed to sound. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, do you remember the name that I said the steroid was?
No, but I remember the funny one that we made up afterwards.
Suck my coxswain.
Yeah. Dude, I hope I get to put that in a script one day. Because that's...
Oh, like for your comedy show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can work that in somehow.
Definitely. Well, yeah. I shouldn't have said yeah when you said comedy show, because you're thinking when I do stand-up, I'm thinking one day when I get to write a TV show.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want to write a TV show?
I would love to write a TV show.
I'm not surprised, but that's cool.
Similar to Suck My Coxswain is I was at the shopping mall with a buddy yesterday, and we saw a Beavis and Butthead MTV shirt, and I accidentally called it Beaver and Butthead. Which sounds like a knockoff porno.
Okay. So, Matt, what's your uplifting moment?
I got to hang out with my cousins. And I love hanging out with my cousins because there are no jokes that we're not allowed to say to each other. For instance, we went out to dinner. My cousin Julia ordered the blackened salmon, and she ate it at a normal pace, but when I looked over at her plate, she was almost done eating it, and I said, damn, you bodied that. And she was like, I'm going to body you. Why the heck would you say that? And that was just a real funny moment. And so obviously you can't joke around with everyone like that, but the people who you can joke around with like that are very special. And I cherish those friendships very much. So that was my uplifting moment, that I got to hang out with my cousins and that we got to throw jokes around at each other like that.
Nice.
One more thing before we go. So on episode 2, I told a really good story. And at the end of it, I said something at the end that I thought was really funny at the time. And I'm not apologizing for it because I have no reason to. But
I have no idea what this is.
You'll remember it. Do you remember when I talked about my anus?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So I thought it was really funny that I was awaiting a important phone call. And when I happened to receive the phone call, I was performing a health check. The health check that is the most humbling, unglamorous thing that you can be caught doing.
But you're not like 50 years old where you need to check that.
I did. It's my anus. You're going to tell me when I have to and don't have to check it? You're going to tell me what to do with my own anus?
I don't know what to say to this, man.
So anyways, I hope that everyone saw the humor in it the way I did, but yeah. Probably not.
No, it was hilarious. I feel like you're overlooking it too much. It's funny.
Overlooking was not the right word.
Words are tough for me. Okay. You're reading into it too much.
Yeah. That's a fine way to say that.
Yeah.
Overthinking it.
That's the word. Yeah. That's my friend Jesse.
Where's Jesse?
WRX.
Oh.
Why are you fucking honking? He doesn't know you.
Oh, it's a he? Oh, forget it. I thought Jesse was a girl.
He has a girlfriend. I'll forget it.
Is he cute?
No.
Then why'd I honk?
That's what I'm wondering. Why did you honk?
Well, guys, I think we better wrap this up.
Yeah.
I gotta get home to dinner.
All right, I guess that concludes our third podcast of Future Stepdads. As always, go follow that Insta, Terrence_LE_.
And Mr. Matt Schroeder, @ Mr. Matt Schroeder.
All right, peace.